gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome in to another episode of Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. It is Floyd of Rosedale Week, a trophy that Kevin, Drake, and I all carried out of Kinnick Stadium at one point or another. And the Iowa Hawkeyes will travel north to take on the Golden Gophers at 6 p.m. on Friday to battle for the pig. How heavy is that trophy, and what does it mean to the team? Let's have a day. Let's go. What's up, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans? We're back for another episode. It is Floyd of Rosedale Week, and the boys on this podcast carried that trophy out of the stadium several times. A couple questions about the Floyd of Rosedale trophy in our Q&A session of the episode tonight. We'll get there in a minute. Drake is joining us from the top of a parking ramp of a casino in beautiful Arizona. We're looking
at in about a half hour, I'll get out of my car and I'll turn the camera around so that you guys can see the sunset behind Camelback. It's pretty beautiful.
For those on the YouTube version that watch it back, which, first of all, if you're not subscribed, over half of the people that watch our videos are not subscribed to the channel. So if you're listening to this right now and you don't have a YouTube channel, quickly create one and subscribe. We are 204 subscribers away from 1,000 subscribers, which means we could officially be YouTube partners. That would be cool. That'd be another cool step for the washed up walk-ons. But yeah, YouTube version. Arizona casino. Kevin is joining us. Presumably he was making a sandwich, so he was in his kitchen, which I got to be a part of. I got to visit Kevin this weekend after the game. Beautiful, beautiful place. New development. And
can we talk about how rich Kevin is?
He's I don't know if I'd call him rich. He's fucking on his way, but he doesn't live in a bad spot, I'll tell you that.
How cool and futuristic are the houses around him?
It's so, yeah, the neighborhood's really cool. And he lives, the street he lives on is like the entrance of the neighborhood. And so I didn't get to see like a whole lot of it. But just a few houses like on the edge of the neighborhood, they all had like their own style, very modern, lots of stonework. Like, Kev, you really got it going on out there.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm just enjoying my ham sandwich right now, so.
Ham sandwich. Lives in that neighborhood.
You know why?
Eating a ham sandwich.
Floyd Week, bro. You got to eat ham on Floyd Week.
Oh, shit. I didn't even connect it. Okay,
come
true.
On, dude. You're the host of this podcast, and you're the slowest one.
I opened it up with the Floyd talk. Speaking of, saw the picture on Facebook. Kim and Pete, of course, they're out in full force. They've got
the
pig
so much.
Yeah, dude, same. And their food. They're out in full force at the complex tonight, serving up roast pig. I'm not actually sure what they're serving, but they've got the pig with the apple in his mouth. Pete's wearing the Floyd shirt. Like, they go all out. All right.
Pete's and this is a great opportunity to tell you guys to get Gray's Takeout, please, and thank you.
Unofficial sponsor.
Local businesses.
Unofficial sponsor of the podcast forever and ever. Gray's, Pete and Kim, best people on earth. Those of you who have listened in the last couple episodes, you'll know that we've mentioned a couple Patreon shout-outs. I don't know what's happening with the Patreon. I must have – the new offerings and what I've been doing I posted a Tory Taylor 25-minute video breakdown yesterday, and people, like, in the direct messages were like, oh, my God, your breakdown of Tory Taylor. I'm glad some people like the special teams nerd out on that stuff. We've got some more patrons to shout-out, and I don't even remember – where we were last episode. I'm just gonna go back.
You're a bad host, dude. You're a bad host.
I'm horrible, dude. Where were we? Alex, Scott, Daniel, Jim, Austin, Mike, Bob, Blake, Jeffrey, Eli, Aaron, Steven. I forgot this one guy's name. He didn't use his real name on the profile, but his profile name is Golden Bolt. David, Jeff, and Joel. Some of you. So those last two, Jeff and Joel, in the last day have joined as Patreon subscribers, enjoying all of the perks over there. The Patreon has really grown, and the offerings have really grown. As you guys know, we don't make any real money off this podcast. Everything that we make through the Patreon, everything that we make through the holiday drop that we just did, the Hawks by a Million t-shirts that are always available at hawksbyamillion.com or thewashedupwalkons.com. All of that money goes right back into the podcast, right back into creating new merchandise. We've actually built up some to where we can actually probably stock more merch items. It all goes back in so that we can make this better, and I can spend a little bit more time and justify that time on the back end. So you guys are incredible. So thank you, patrons. I am thinking about the Gray's food, like the Gray's meal, and those soft Hawaiian sweet rolls, son of a bitch.
I got to give you a lot of credit there for that little monologue spiel you gave. That sounded really professional. Like, from where we started talking mad shit about just whatever to now you giving people their proper praises and things like that. Well done.
I had to come back. You know, you get called out, you gotta lay down the law. Big Ten news. There will be no Maryland Ohio State game this week. Maryland pausing team activities for the time being. I saw Lucy Rodine tweeted, that's probably a good decision, Maryland.
I'll tell you what, though. Talia Tagovailoa is a real, real good player. Like, shocker, Tua's brother's good, but yeah. He's really good.
Let me check the stats, actually, because I have the Big Ten stats pulled up. As far as passing goes, Rutgers... not great. They're passing for 176 yards a game.
I think Talia in the past couple weeks is leading the Big Ten.
Yeah, Maryland passes for 273 a game, which is pretty good. That is sixth in the Big Ten, so upper half. Iowa, for reference, is passing for 220 a game. Tua's his brother, and I'm real pissed at Tua. Because Drake, you probably are too. You took the
dude. Come on, how did he go and have polar opposite games in week one and week two of his career?
Looked incredible, honestly. Looked really good. Led the Dolphins to a 34-31 win over the Cardinals, I believe, this weekend. One of Drake's picks was the Cardinals -2 or 3.5, so he ruined that. Speaking of the Washed Up Walk-Ons picks, let's update you now that the NFL games for the week are over.
Tyler, dude, I'm hurting right now. I'm in negatives.
I went great in the NFL. Again, the Army Air Force game was canceled, so I only had 3 picks. Packers crushed. Vikings, I mean, Dalvin Cook, dear Lord. I've got him on my fantasy team, and just thank you to that guy. So those two crushed. My one pick was Georgia, and Florida beat them. So I was 2-1 for the week. That brings me to 11-16. Fade Kluver, #2020. That one continues. Drake is 11-12 after going 1-2 in the NFL for the week.
It feels really bad, dude. I start off like 7-10 or 7-3 or something like that. Like, it just feels bad.
Yep. Kevin still even, 14 and 14, so 50% for the official awards winner picks. If you guys haven't, I don't know if you guys have looked, but as I talk here, make sure you got your picks for the end of the podcast, and I will start if I need to give you guys time on that. As we move forward, we're going to get to some question and answer, a little breakdown on the Minnesota Gophers. The Battle for Floyd. This is one of Kevin's favorite games, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Kev?
Definitely one of my favorite games. By far my favorite trophy.
Favorite trophy. Yeah, we've been over that. Yep. Floyd is your favorite trophy. It's a heavy trophy.
It's a girthy little pig, man.
It's a thick little girthy pig. It's not the biggest trophy, but it's heavy. The thing is dense. And someone asked the question if Keith could hoist it over his head by himself. I'm going to go with no. I think it weighs 90.
I'm going to go with yes, because we need to give Keith more credit than we're giving him right now, because the dude in the weight room, don't care what he looks like, kind of a powerhouse. Dude,
he's a powerhouse for being 112 pounds.
But he can squat over 400, dude.
Yes.
That trophy's only 90.
His bench and his upper body, his pressing is not good. I believe the pig weighs 97 pounds or 99 pounds, just under 100.
I think it's 98.3, I believe.
98 pounds. And that is, I mean, a 100-pound dumbbell, not most, a lot of people can't put that overhead. But the pig is even more weird because it's not evenly distributed weight. And I've had that thing on my shoulder with Boone Myers, I believe, is who I carried it out of the stadium with. It was heavy as hell, dude. I know that, Kevin, you have a sick picture with your brother carrying it out of TCF.
Yeah. It's especially a lot heavier when you're the shorter of the two people.
Yes. Yes.
So I know how you felt that day.
Dude, my
neck. That's the Ward family's proudest picture.
That
it
picture.
Is my dad fucking loves that picture. They have it all over their house.
I would those at the banquet our senior year, those big banners that like sat up behind us on the stage. The Ward family needs to get like a mural of that size or bigger painted of that picture, like in your dad and mom's house. That would be fucking incredible.
So you think he'd like that for a Christmas present?
If you could somehow figure that out, like maybe order like the biggest fat head of that picture as possible, or something like that. I think he'd enjoy that a lot. By the way, real quick,
I think he listens to the pod though. Unfortunately,
yeah, probably not. We suck. Real quick note: the idea for the walk-ons to broadcast the toolbox game, the Rusty Toolbox game, was one of the most well-received ideas from the fans. I got so many DMs and, like, tweets about that to our account. Like, what can we do to make this happen? And I just thought of if somehow, some way, someone actually wants to make that happen, it could be the greatest or worst piece of, broadcasting coverage that there ever was. I just imagine it going one way or the other. But quite honestly, could be the best idea that you've ever had, Drake. I think.
That would be so much fun. I always wanted to watch like the toolbox game in person. Obviously, we couldn't because we were playing the next day.
Yeah,
but yeah. Which is honestly bullshit though, because what's a little night before entertainment for the boys?
Yeah, true. Definitely nothing else to focus on. Minnesota, the Gophers expected to be coming off of their season last year, even though the Hawks did take them down in Kinnick at night. Don't come to Iowa City at night. Don't do it. 11-2, I believe, was their final record last year. They lost to us and Wisconsin at the end of the year, I believe. Kevin, you could probably remember and check me on that. And then they won their bowl game, I think. Did they play Auburn? Did they beat Auburn?
That is correct. They beat Auburn in the Outback Bowl.
Okay. I thought so.
That's such a good win, dude.
It's a good win. That's an incredible win. So 11-2. High expectations coming in this year. PJ Fleck, fourth year. Haven't turned out the best performances with and granted, again, COVID 2020 year, does the year even matter? What is this year? Regardless, started the year getting handled by Michigan, who at the time was like, okay, Michigan's 1-0, handled Minnesota, maybe they're good. Since then has proven maybe that's not the case. Minnesota then went on to play, I don't know, and then I know that they they played Maryland.
Lost to Maryland in overtime.
By 1 point.
That's an extra point.
Yep, by 1 point. And then last week they played.
They rolled Illinois.
Yeah, they played Illinois and beat them. So interesting stats about Minnesota. All right, they have an ungodly amount of rushing yards. This Ibrahim running back, I mean,
he's a beast, dude.
Let's just look at the numbers here. The top rushing team in the Big Ten is the Minnesota Gophers. They have 716 rushing yards through three games, 12 rushing touchdowns. They're averaging 238 yards per game.
Dude, that is absolute insanity.
5.2 yards per carry. That is second in the Big Ten behind Maryland, which is interesting. So their rushing numbers are really, really good. On the other hand, defensively, they sit on the exact opposite of the league. They somehow are giving up one more yard than they're actually rushing for per game. They rush for 238. They give up 239 rush yards per game. Like, what? I'm so confused.
That is really good news for an offense that just showed we can run the ball pretty well if that's what we focus on.
Yeah, for reference, so that defense, that Minnesota defense, that gives up 7.3 yards per carry. They're giving up 73% of a first down every time the other team runs the ball. Like, dude, that is bad, bad. That defense is going to go up against Iowa's sixth best Big Ten rushing offense. Iowa is just under 500 yards total, averaging 5 per carry, 7 rushing touchdowns. We run for 166 yards per game, which is pretty respectable. Iowa defense rushing-wise, going up against that incredible rushing attack that Minnesota is touting, Iowa first in the Big Ten in rush defense, giving up 2.6 yards per rush, only 4 touchdowns given up, just over 100 yards a game at 102. So the best rushing offense in the Big Ten going up against the best rush defense in the Big Ten, isn't that exciting, man?
Pretty standard,
yeah,
I think
Minnesota's been giving up a lot of big plays, a lot of chunk yards, and Iowa, I think you can probably count on our hand how many big plays that we've given up on defense. So
just that one
advantage
last week.
Advantage Iowa.
Yeah.
Brady Ross.
Advantage Iowa.
It feels like in our career, all we did was play incredible rushing teams with like some of the best running backs that the league has seen. But yeah, we always stood there with one of the best rushing defenses and just stood toe-to-toe. Like, it's just such a standard Iowa matchup.
Well, every year you see, like, a few games in, it's like, okay. I actually think I saw a stat right before this podcast. Iowa has the best rushing defense in the country in one of the statistics, I believe. It might be that average, 2.6 yards per carry. I don't know.
And it's just so standard. Like, Coach Parker turns out a great rushing defense every single year.
It's incredible. Kevin, you were a part of that defense. Why do you think that is? He's probably chewing.
No, sorry. I was muted right there.
Oh.
Yeah, it just comes down to playing basic fundamental football, playing within the defense. Making sure guys are in gaps. It's easy not to give up big runs if everyone does their job. So if you have good communication, get guys where they're supposed to be, it really limits the big runs. And that's when you see teams like average yards per rush go up, mm-hmm. is when they're giving up, you know, say somebody's out of their gap and they get gassed for 20 yards or,
right.
You know, someone misses a tackle on top of that and then all of a sudden a touchdown. So, yeah. People getting into the gaps, making tackles in the gaps. Really, it's really not that hard of a concept.
Right.
Just difficult to execute sometimes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think
– Hoover, give me this stat real quick that I just thought of, because we were talking about how in the early part of the season we thought that it would be the most penalized team.
Yeah.
And turns out we played terrible for the first two games, had a ton of penalties. What were our penalty line – what was our penalty line in the third game? Because the game just turned out so much different.
Yeah, I don't
think the second game was very bad in penalties either.
Penalties, we're averaging 51 yards.
Obviously it's come down a lot because the first game we had over 100 yards.
I can tell you this.
In the last two.
I can tell you this. The first game we had 10 for 100. In the last two games, we've gotten 9 for 55 yards.
Okay. So, and I don't think a lot of them were in the third game because we were just in such positive position and we were just on top of things for the whole game.
Yep. In fact, I think I remember the one of the games was like 3 for 25 yards or 20 something like that. So, yeah, we've brought that down. That definitely is something that you have to look at. It's a good thing. I mean, you definitely don't want that number to go up. They've taken care of it to some extent. Averaging 50 yards a game in penalties, you know, still probably could ask for a little less, but that 100-yard game is obviously aiding in that average. So the last two games, probably exactly what we're looking for. And, I would love to see the Hawks continue to be more disciplined. Let's move on to some of the questions. One that didn't specifically come in on the question that I – or on the tweet that I sent out, but this came in as a DM from one of our big fans, Elena Hansen. I've talked with her multiple times. She's asked a couple questions in the past. And I thought this was an actually incredible question that I've never really considered. I don't know. It struck something with me, and it's something that it will be individual to each of us. She says, as a player, after a loss or win, you watch the film, then you move on. As a fan, we sit with the outcome for a whole week before the next game. Now that you aren't in the program anymore, is that a tough transition, or are you still able to put a loss or win behind you immediately and move forward? And I just thought that was a very insightful question. I told her personally, and that I'd answer it on the podcast as well, as you guys think about what your answer would be. And Drake, for those watching the YouTube version or for those listening, I guess, he's showing the sunset of Camelback. Pretty incredible scene out there. Definitely not Iowa. I thought that the specialist position was actually uniquely in a spot to be all the way to the side of process something, move on, process something, move on. It's how you have to be as a snapper, kicker, punter. The job is description is perfection. As a punter, you are expected to hit a high punt that gives your coverage team a chance, keep it in spots that are not going to allow the returner to make something happen. As a snapper, you're expected to put it exactly on the dude's hip so that he doesn't have to worry about anything. Or on the PATs, put it right out over that tee and give him laces, something that I sucked at. As a kicker, you make the kick, right? It's 100 or zero, all or nothing. And in that kind of environment, you have to, regardless of the situation or of the outcome of a specific rep, you have to flush it and move on. Keith misses a kick last week versus Michigan State. Flush it, come back, kick another one. Now, we didn't end up getting another field goal, but he had to come out and kick more PATs. He has to forget about that rep. And I think that transferred over to games in general, not just reps, but entire games, as I had to basically train myself to, pick six, Amani Hooker starts the game off against Ohio State. Can't really get too excited about this, because if I let the fan inside of me, the excitement, the that emotion fill me, that affects like the intricacies of trying to do special teams and be a specialist. So I got really good at suppressing that. And I told Elena, I'm almost not attached to the wins or losses at all. Like, I'm fine. Like, we lost to Purdue that first week, and I was like, cool. Like, I went and ate Mexican food for dinner. I wasn't even thinking about it. Like,
yeah, anymore it doesn't really bother me either. But man, I did not take losing very well
while you were playing.
No.
Yeah, Kevin, what about you?
Interesting question. Obviously, we're not as invested in it as we once were.
Yeah.
Obviously, still big fans of the program and everything, but I don't know. It's not something that you carry around for the whole week. Obviously, it's the last thing – when we're just talking Iowa football, it's the last thing you can reference. I don't know. It's not really – I can't even really compare the two, being a fan, being on the outside compared to being on the inside is – far as the flush it move on mentality, because I mean, as a fan, like I guess I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
It's weird. Yeah. So here's what I've been asked this question in a couple different ways, multiple times.
Like it's not my job to move on. I don't have to prepare for the next game. Yes. You know what I mean? Like
we know that as former players, that was our life. Like, it is our job to worry about what happened, fix it, move on, make it better, change the outcome next game. Or, if the outcome was good, try and repeat that, find that success again. And the week was based on that. It's like, okay, flush this game. As a player, Elena, you make a great point. You have to, like, if the players are thinking about Michigan State right now, like, what the hell would they, what, why? They got a whole nother team to worry about. I get it as a fan's perspective is you just sit there and like, all right, well, it's kind of like we're as good as our last time out. So me as a Hawkeye fan for this week is whatever they put on the field on Saturday. And if it wasn't good, I have to just sit with that. Whereas the players, they're already on to the next team, worrying about their practice reps from that morning, like stuff like that. I always describe it as this. I don't consider myself a fan of Iowa football. I consider myself, in a general sense, yeah, I'm a fan. I watch Iowa football. I consider myself and how I look at the games, how I process the wins and losses from a former player standpoint. Not a fan, not a current player, a former player. And that's how I process it because it's not the same as a fan. And to some extent, that's, you know, like there's probably a lot of people out there who get more excited for Iowa football games than me. More excited for the tailgate, more excited like throughout the week. And it's just like, I don't know if it's just, you know, it just is what it is to me. That's how I process it. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, good question.
All right, cool. We'll move on. Thanks, Elena, for the question. Moving forward to the other questions, more specifically about the Gophers. All right, here we go. This one is from Rachel. Does the idiotic "We Hate Iowa" chant get under the player's skin as much as it does mine?
No, I love it. It's absolutely tremendous.
Fuel on the fire.
It's like you need something to, I don't know, it gets your heart racing, man. It like makes you a little angry.
It's like when you walk out at Iowa State and it's, fuck the Hawkeye. I mean, that just, ooh, that gets me going right now, baby. Let's go.
Dude, it makes your balls tingle. You need that every once in a while.
Okay, all right. Yeah, balls tingling. Yeah, it does. It gets the blood boiling a little. Blood boiling in a good way. Like, I'm hype. I'm ready to go. Yeah, so I think it's cool. I love that shit. Mark, are you surprised that Amir Smith-Marset gets the start coming off of a suspension? You know, I think it's standard what they've kind of done with the
coaches. Standard has always been 1 week, I think, unless it was two before. But I always thought it was a week.
You know, to my knowledge, Amir hasn't done anything to get like a check mark in the doghouse column before this, so pretty clean record as far as that goes. So not really. Hope he does well. Hope he comes back focused and ready to play.
Hope he learned his lesson, man. You know?
Mm-hmm. Here we go. What else we got? This one I saw earlier. Do you think, given all the let's call them incidents going on at Iowa, that This is KF's last year. If so, what are your thoughts on who the next coach should be? Bob Stoops, question mark? Urban Meyer? First of all, I don't think Urban wants any piece of Kinnick after what we did to him in 2017.
His butt still hurts, dude.
Yeah, he ain't walking back in there willingly. Plus, I don't think – he's coached at Ohio State, like the Ohio State. Why would he come to Iowa? Not that Iowa is, like, a bad job, but Iowa, whenever Kirk leaves, is going to be the best job on the market. But I just don't think Urban would do that. And Bob Stoops, I think he's done with coaching. I think there's a guy that I've heard other people in the podcast, Hawkeye blog world, talk about. His name is Chris Kleiman. I think he's at Kansas State or something. A lot of people have talked about him being the next head coach. I don't know who he is. I think he's got connections. I have no idea.
Tell you what, boys. when the KF, BF, and Phil era ends, it might be the end of the Drake Iowa era.
You'll be signing off the podcast at that
point? I think I'm signing off, dude. Once KF and the boy, once it's not Kirk's dogs anymore, I think I got to sign off.
Wow. All right. Cool. I mean, I understand.
I still think we got a few more years left before that happens, though.
Yeah, I don't think it's his last year either. I really don't. Let's see. Do we see any of Charlie Jones into the receiver position getting reps there?
Our receivers are sick.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we're in a spot where
we're trying to establish more of a run because we need to not worry so much about. Now, he could get worked in a little bit in the fancy run game, you know. Yeah,
and he did. He got a couple sweeps last week for like 20, 30 some yards, I think. Set us up really well in the first possession.
If this Iowa team continues to run the ball and focus on that, that's where their offense will flourish.
Yeah. Kev?
I was just going to say, he's doing good on special teams. That's how you find more playing time in offense and defense.
Yep. You would know. God,
not really, though.
Hey, you found that start against Northwestern.
Bro, you started a game at linebacker in the Big Ten, and you played pretty well. So that's more than so many can say.
Yeah, that is true. It's something I would that I'm envious of.
Something that I'm envious of, dude. I played in the same game.
Yeah. TJ asks, how different will a Friday night game really be?
Well, we played on Friday night, so it's not that different. The week's better.
I mean, it's just gonna mess up with the practice schedule a little bit, but other than that, you know, you play when they tell you to play. Who's gonna tell you to play again? So
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I think, to my knowledge, Minnesota still runs a 4-3 defense, correct?
I don't know. Probably
they used to. No, I think they're more 3-4 now.
Who?
Don't quote me on that, though.
A short week with a 3-4 off or a 3-4 defense can get a little bit hairy because the IDs are screwed up and the movement is a little bit like more unpredictable. It messes with your mind a little bit more. So the boys got to show up mentally prepared, and we'll see because so far they've been pretty flaky on the preparedness.
For sure. For you two, I'd love to know, over, under Tyler Goodson 15 carries?
It's got to be over that number.
I would say with Minnesota's rushing defense.
Over, but
– over.
Yeah, I don't know, but Mekhi's got to get his touches too. I don't know.
It is tough because we almost have a committee back there too. And I kind of like it. Make T good the 60, 70% of the time back, but like take a little off him. I mean, Mekhi and Ivory are no chumps back there. Like they're doing good work.
The way that Tyler plays though, it's like the game is a little bit slower to him.
It really is.
You know, when he just makes things happen that it just doesn't – I don't know. Other people don't.
Like Kevin mentioned earlier.
Electric.
Yeah, like Kevin mentioned earlier, Minnesota, they've given up some big chunk plays. Well, we got a guy that creates big chunk plays, and that's T. Good. I could see like 3 runs of 20-plus from Tyler this weekend. I think it would be insane to – I think he's got a chance to have a special weekend. I really do.
I'd still love to see him take the sleeves off.
Yeah. Interesting question to round this out before we go to the awards winners. As most of us know, our last loss to Minnesota was an ass-kicking in 2014. Yes, it sure was. That day sucked.
I should bring it up.
And our last loss to Iowa State was also in 2014.
Let them forget it either.
Yep. What was the locker room like after those games, and was anything said to help us go on our current winning streak against both programs?
No, those locker rooms were pretty fucking quiet.
Pretty bad. I remember the...
So imagine walking into the scene of a murder and then going to a room with a bunch of people afterwards.
Yeah. I just kind of look at... You know, it's so odd, too, especially on the road, because you're trying to put on your travel... I mean, either one. You're trying to put on your travel gear back on. You're, like, pissed. You're looking at everybody else. You're packing your bag. So, I mean, it just feels so... It's a very empty feeling.
I always felt so bad for, like, my parents on road games that we lost, because... You know, after a loss, like, I don't want to fucking say a word to anybody about anything. You know, my poor parents either drove 5-6 hours or got on a flight there. And, you know, they get 30 minutes with you after the game. And I probably said all 10 words with them that entire time.
Yeah.
So, it sucks, okay? It sucks either way, especially trophy games. But, there's no big rah-rah speech to –
No,
after a loss, you know, like make you go on a 6-game win streak versus that team or whatever. That's stuff for the movies, man. That don't really happen.
Yeah. You know, in 2017, when we lost to Michigan State,
yes,
I was honestly a little bit afraid.
Yes.
In the locker room afterwards, that I was gonna get my ass whooped by Brian. Like I was a little bit nervous he was gonna beat the shit out of me, because in the first half I didn't play very well. And I knew that he was mad, and then he punched the door and broke his hand, and I'm pretty confident that was because me and Brady weren't doing great, and he was kind of counting on us. And
tough one.
And after the game, we lost, and I'm just like, Brian.
You're lucky that he didn't punch your face.
Dude, no, but that's the thing, because we still had a half to play when he punched the door, so like we could have turned things around, but then we lost the game. In pretty unimpressive fashion, and I was legitimately worried I was getting my ass whooped that day.
I think that's good for the questions. Those are good questions this week. Obviously, an exciting week. There's a couple others that I couldn't find that were like, do you prepare or do you get excited different for trophy games? And I think people like
prepare. No, I mean. Yeah, excited, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely say, like, if I always got my excitement level for games was kind of based on like how big the game was, right? So like that Penn State game that we went into and got our asses whooped, but before at least I was really excited for that one. The Michigan night game, I was excited for that one. You're going into West Lafayette at 11 a.m. You're just not as excited, right? But preparation is still all the same. Like you're max prep, as much work as you can do, as much film work as you can do, and it's never more or less. If that makes sense, let's move on.
I don't know if I've said this before. Just real quick before we move on,
yep.
The Michigan game in 2016 felt a little bit biblical. Like David versus Goliath in every way. Like
yeah.
It really, to me, as just a person, somebody who grew up Catholic, like it just felt very David and Goliath-esque.
I would agree. And so would the Walmart guy. You know, Kev?
Hawks are going to need a prayer this weekend, huh?
Going to need a prayer.
As we sit there in our Iowa football gear. It's like...
We just looked at each other.
Why don't you go roll your wheelchair away and fuck off?
Yeah, that was incredible. Unbelievable story. Yeah. But that brings us to the old...
DJ Kevin!
Yeah.
We need some winners this week, boys. We need some winners, and I think I got some. I really do. I feel confident in my picks. Again, if you guys,
I'm confident in mine too, and I'm hammering some picks, bro.
Okay, okay. I'm gonna start with, again, I'm going 2-2. All right, Notre Dame just beat Clemson. They're playing Boston College. The line, depending on where you get it at, most looks like most books, they got it at 13.5, -13.5. I'm taking Notre Dame. All right. I think they feel good. I think they're confident. And I'm taking Notre Dame -2 touchdowns. My other college pick is going to be the Wisconsin-Michigan game. I think we questioned them last week. We kind of talked about it tonight. Michigan could be potentially dog shit. I don't think Harbaugh is going to be there after this season. And I know Wisconsin has had 2 weeks off. They could be a little rusty, but they will be fresh. I'm taking Wisconsin -3.5 and 4.5. Give me 4.5. Give me 4.5. I'll take it. Wisconsin -4.5.
Fucking wild, man.
Yep.
They haven't played since week one. Do they even have a quarterback that can throw the ball?
Don't care, baby. Michigan sucks. Woo!
These are things you should know before you bet on a team.
No, dude, I just bet on feel. I just bet on feel.
And that's a maniac, dude. I love it.
Fuck it. You know? And then, so Notre Dame over.
Hashtag fade Kluver.
Chill
fade
out, Kev. Kluver. Dude, fade it's a good bet. Kluver. It's a good bet. This is not betting advice, but if it was, it'd be a great bet. Moving on to the NFL, I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, Joey Buckets, versus the Pittsburgh. I'm taking the over in this game. Over 46.5 points. Because I think Joey Buckets can score, and we know that the Steelers are good. They have good defense. I don't.
Is Big Ben playing this week?
I don't care. Put Duck Hodges in. I don't give a shit.
Oh, my God. See, I feel bad for anyone that has ever bet on one of the things you tell them to bet on.
Let's go! With Pitt and Cincinnati over 46.5. And then my other pick, I had to double take at this one. And maybe there's something I don't know happening in this game either. But they got the Cardinals -1.5 against the Bills.
And that.
I'm taking the Bills. Give me the Bills, +1.5. Those are my picks. You got anything to say about that one, Kevin?
I mean, that's a pick. I mean.
Okay. All right. Drake?
Do you want me to go or you want Kevin to go since he's been a little better?
I don't care.
You'll save me for that.
You're both the right. Drake. You can go.
So, I wanted to take that Buffalo pick, but since you took it, I'm going to let you have it. It's okay. Yours. Right. Give me Philly -3 against the Giants because I don't even need to say it.
The Giants blow.
Hey, the city of New York.
No. Give me Tampa Bay -4.5 against Carolina. Tom's coming back. He's having a better week. Like, that's happened early in the season. Had a bad week, came back, crushed it. Give me Tommy and the boys. Give me Cleveland.
Is McCaffrey out?
Yeah, McCaffrey's out with a shoulder. Oh, McCaffrey's out with a shoulder.
Okay. What was that line?
It was Tampa Bay -4.5. It was on points bet.
Yep.
Okay. Then give me Cleveland -3 against Houston. Houston is just a bunch of dipe shitters, and I feel bad for Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. They don't deserve this, but Cleveland can cover 3 points. Also, Nick Chubb is back, so their rushing attack is going to be pretty sick.
True. Those are your three?
I got more. I really wanted to take that Buffalo pick, but I'm going to let you have it. Nope, you have it. Give me Seattle +2 against L.A. I don't know what this line is. I don't know what's going on. It's in L.A. Who cares? Russell Wilson can cover 2 points against – or can get 2 points and cover that against the Rams.
That's interesting.
Okay, and then, what can Seattle's defense do, though?
That's true, but I'm not all in. Listen, I'm not all in.
I'm not all in on
Jared Goff.
Real quickly.
No, I don't think anybody's all in on Jared Goff.
A stat on Seattle's pass defense. They are giving up 379 pass yards a game or something like that, first in the most in the league. The next worst team is Atlanta, who's giving up like 319. They're giving up more pass yards to any other team by 60 to second place. It's incredible. I could throw touchdowns on them.
It is bad.
Tough week to have traded Robert Woods away again.
Yeah, true.
And then my last one, I hate to say it, I hate to do it, but New Orleans -9 against San Francisco. San Francisco is literally not fielding a real NFL roster. They have $80 million on IR. I don't know how I didn't pick them last week. Kluver, you're smart. I'm an idiot. Yep. That pick is probably just a super lock.
Yeah, that's one of those right there. So five picks from Drake this week. Kevin, what do we got going? Well, first of all, Zach Johnson to win the Masters. That's the pick.
Zach Johnson to win the Masters, baby. Let's go. Yes, I got Zach Johnson at +10,000.
Bro. Let's go.
10,000. 10,000, yeah. So $5 to win 500. Big fan of that set. Big fan of that set. I think our boy Zach Johnson is going to do really well in the first ever November's Masters.
Yeah.
Moving on to college football. Shit, what the hell did I bet on? Oh, yeah, here we go. I really like these sets. I feel pretty good about them. So starting off, 11 a.m. game, Illinois versus Rutgers, likely over on 52. Rutgers can put some points up. Rutgers can give some points up. Illinois, yeah, they can put some points up too. But, yeah, Rutgers put up 4 touchdowns versus Ohio State. So I like there to be some points scored in this game. Moving out west, I got Oregon -10 versus Washington State. Oregon had a big win versus Stanford last week. Washington State with a close win over Oregon State last week. I think Oregon's defense is so much better than what Wazoo faced last week that the 10 points is going to come easy. And then this is my lock of the week. This might be my lock of the year. I love Northwestern -2.5 versus Purdue.
Wow.
Love it.
Wow.
Love it. I just think they are a much better team. Offensively, pretty similar, but I think Northwestern has the advantage with Peyton Ramsey. I think he gives that offense exactly what it needs with a mobile quarterback. And then defensively, Northwestern is much better than Purdue, I think. So give me Northwestern. I think they win this game by a touchdown, if not more.
That is interesting. All right, well, there you have it. Kevin gives you the lock of potentially the century in his eyes. And scrutinized almost every single one of my picks. That's going to do it. 162. We're playing for pig, baby. I guess we better bring Floyd back. That's all I'm saying. Bacon for breakfast on Saturday. That's it. We'll be talking at you on Sunday. If you're a part of the Patreon, look for the quick reaction pod on Friday night. Glad to have you as always. Walk-ons out.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.